One thing I hope you all remember, we were talking about around 6-7 weeks ago. Pasha's told us that's when we started the Indian, the Sugya, or Bior Hamidus. And for those who were not here, or for those whose memory sticks have already ended, like this one, I think, during the talk that I'm going to give now, I'm going to be reviewing and strengthening the yisod that we started talking about. So don't worry. And maybe if you didn't understand the first one, maybe this time you'll understand it even be better. It'll be alright. Let me begin by reminding the chevra that these are the weeks of Shoivavim, these parashiyas spoke about this morning. The parashiyas of Shoivavim were a special time for tikkun hamidus, for working on one's midas. The tzaddik that told us Aaron from Zetamer, was Kedushas Levi, one of Kedushas Levi's greatest talmidim. So he wrote that the Shoivavim hain k'mayaseres amei tshuva. The tzaddik from Zetamer wrote that these days of Shoivavim, these parashiyas, it's like one long period of aseres amei tshuva. He said that these days of Shoivavim, these weeks of Shoivavim, the tefillahs are as accepted, are as powerful, the davening, as a Aseres Yemei Teshuva. V'nei klal inyan Shoivavim hu l'sakenes hamidas. The main avoda during this time of Shoivavim is tikkun hamidus, lasakin hamidus, ulakadesh hachushim, and to sanctify our chushim, our eyes, our mouth, our ears, and so on, our thoughts, to be makadesh the chushim, to be masakin the midus. These two, of course, are very much connected. Lishma atzmai ma'atzvus v'kas v'gaiva, to try to guard ourselves and to be mechazik ourselves during this time of the year, from sadness and anger and conceit and so on, and that the kabbalas that we make during this time and the work that we do during this time of the year, it's like the kabbalas and the work that we do during our Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's a gewaltige thing. So some of you who have really good memories might recall that shiur that we began, the Inyan of Bior Hamidus, because in between is Chanukah the Finyan, but that shiur that Bior Hamidus began with a question. And I told you all I'm going to answer it later on. So that time is Baruch Hashem arrived. The question was that of the great Gaon the Pachad Yitzchak Rav Hutner Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livrach. The Rav Hutner asked regarding the name that is being used for Yaakov Avinu, that we say every day in davening, that there is a particular joy that Hashem Yisbarach has when He refers to Yaakov Avinu by the name of Yeshurun. Yeshurun. And Rav Hutner asked, what is the simcha, what is the joy that Hashem Baruch has dafki with the use of that, I don't want to use the word nickname, because nickname always is a negative connotation, but with that kinui of Ahava, there are names for Avraham Avinu's Eisan has, Rachi, there are names that Hashem Baruch uses for the Ovis and for Tzadikim to show His love for them. But only here, Rav Hutner says, do we see such a thing as Unisimchascha Shesamachtabo, that the Baruch Shalom has gewaldige simcha, but when he calls Yaakov Yeshurun. So we need to understand the meaning of that name Yeshurun. We're the Bnei Yaakov, we're the children of Yaakov, we're Bnei Yisrael. There's something unique about that name Yeshurun. Now you know that here in the Medrash over the years we speak very often about the Inyan of names. mistake was that I gave some Shiurma names and I have pulse from all over mamish the world. Like I think I'm sort of some sort of a maven on, you know, on this Indian, which I'm certainly not. Just to buy the tapes, right? If they figured they made a cheshbon that the call is cheaper. Besides, I always call back, so that's how it works. So there's a lot when it comes to a name, because the name is everything. A name is the neshama. So we have to understand more about the name Yaakov. Once we understand the pnimius of Yaakov, then we'll already understand the kinui of Yeshurun. So Rav Huttner brings Ramban. The Ramban is found at the beginning of Parshas Ekev. The name Ekev, the name of the parasha Ekev, we hear Yaakov Avinu in the parasha. So the Ramban writes that the word Ekev has two meanings. Ekev has two meanings. The first is the one that we're most familiar with. Ekev means the end. On the body it means the heel, but it means the end of something. Vahaya Ekev Tishmun, Ikvis to the Mashiach, means the end, the final days, the final moments. So that's one meaning of the word Ekev. That we all know. But then the Ramban says the second meaning of the word Ekev. Loshen Sivuv, Nigzar, Min Vahaya Akov Lemishar. Ramban says that the word Ekev means a loshen of sivuv. What's sivuv? Making a circle. Something that is not straight. As it says in Novi, that the promise is that when Mashiach will come at the end of time, that which is circular, or that which is not straight, that which is crooked, will become straight. So the Ramban writes, "Haderech ha-mu'ukal ha-hoylech soviv soviv." Ekev means something is draying, is draying around, draying around. And by Yaakov Avinu it says, and the Ramban brings, "Vayakveini ze pamayim." Esav is screaming, Esav as a taina. That what? That two times he drained me. Two times Yaakov Avinu made hakafas around me. He twisted. There are two times that Yaakov Avinu did something that wasn't straight. That's Esav Taina. V'yakveini zeh pamayim. So listen to how the Ramban ends. Lachain, he says, therefore, yikare Yaakov Yeshur. Therefore, Yaakov is called, the name that Hashem uses for Yaakov is what? One of the names, and there's the name that gives Simcha. Therefore, he says the name Yaakov is Yeshurun. Ki hafach he'akov limishur. Because the Ramban says that Yaakov was able to take that which is crooked, the akov, which is crooked and circular, and he was able to transform it into what? Into mishur, into that which is straight. That which is straight. Adkan Loshen Ramban. This is what the Ramban says in the name Yaakov. The ability to transform in the most remarkable way, to transform all that is crooked, all that's circular, all that's unclear, into that which is perfectly straight and gleich in the way it's supposed to be. In terms of our avoda as his children, the Hagoyis Maimini in Hilchos Megillah, at the end of the second parak in Hilchos Megillah. See, he writes there about a person who gives one day of the week. On Monday, he gives a beautiful, beautiful amount of tzedakah, of money to tzedakah. And then the next day, that was on Monday. Beautiful. Then the next day, he gave an equally generous amount, he invested an equally generous amount of money into playing a game of cards. Into a game. Into gambling. So the Hagoris Maimini uses a very strong lashon. The words are very strong. He says, Boze ve'ibeid ezeh. It's shocking. that the next day when he takes out the same $100 or whatever it is, $1,000, now he took out this nice amount of money. The next day when he takes out the same amount of money he gave yesterday to Tzedakah, so that's so the day before, on Monday, he gave money to Ezra's Torah, to Yad Eliezer, he gave money for what a beautiful mitzvah. He helped some poor person out, and he gave him $1,000. It was gewalt. Then the next day, he puts down $1,000 on a horse. So the Hagoris Maimini, says, Bozer, that when he takes out now the $1,000 on the horse, the Ebed is said, undermines. Ebed, it destroys what happened yesterday. Why is that? So listen to what he said, listen to the Lashon. Kishoitezer, because he says this idiot, huh? There's nicer words, but it's more geschmack to say, Ki shoytezer darku bekach. What does it mean, shoytezer darku bekach? He's not a bal tzedakah. What is he? It's a shoyte. Money doesn't mean anything to him. On Monday it's on a mitzvah, and on Tuesday it's on a fair, on a horse. It doesn't mean anything to him. It says, shoytezer darku bekach. That this fool, this is his mahalach in life. It doesn't mean anything to him. He throws away money. Now this is a revolutionary insight, because it forces us to reconsider the definition of a midah tovah. Every school nowadays says if your kid comes here, he's going to have midah tovahs. He's going to have midos tovos. It's not a midah tovahs. He's going to have midos tovos or midot tovot. If you come to this school, he's going to be a nice kid. Oh, he's going to be a nice kid. We don't know what it means, a midah tovah. The definition of a midah tovah is what the Indians that we're talking about. At least this year, Mosei Shabbos, I mean, during the week I give it this, but this year, Mosei Shabbos, we're going to be talking the whole year Bez Hashem in this Indian. So to begin with, b'chlal, what's a midah tovah? So back in that shir, Parshas told us that Mosei Shabbos, we learned, that's what I'm saying, review a little bit, we learned that a midah tovah doesn't mean be'etzem, this particular midah or that particular midah, like being nice, or being generous, or being soft-spoken, or being humble. There's no midah tovah that tzaddikim have taught us that is be'etzem, it's a midah tovah. What is a midah tovah? So we learned back then that it's when the person uses the correct and appropriate form of behavior and responds in the correct and appropriate way, lefi the zman, that time, and lefi the mokim, and that place. That's a midah tovah. Therefore, when Chazal said, kol hamerachim al hachzarim, that if you have a person who has compassion for those who are cruel, in the end what's going to happen to him? He's going to end up, he says, Bashal HaMalach, in the end he's going to end up, what? Being cruel to those who are compassionate. We understand this, and it doesn't require any arichas. All of these bleeding heart liberals who are crying over the Palestinian children. But don't say a ki huzeh about the fact that there are 4 yeshiva bachim that are blown to, that are shot to pieces in Othniel, and the whole world is screaming. And they're marching on campuses in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish professors, and all of the phony actors and actresses, Nebuch Jews in Hollywood, that are crying about the Akzarius, the cruelty of what of the Jewish soldiers, of the Israeli population, and it's Rachmanis. So this mahalach of kol hamerachim, whoever uses compassion when you're supposed to use achzarias, cruelty, in the end is going to be cruel when he's supposed to be compassionate. So if anybody asks you, hey, what do you think about rachmanis? Is that a midah tovah? To have rachmanis, to be compassionate, you'd say right away, avad, that's a midah tovah. That a person is compassionate, it's a beautiful midah, it's a midah. It's a midah kedoshah. It's a beautiful thing. It's one of the spheres. It's beautiful. So what we're learning in the Indian of Bir Hamidas is that Rachmanis is not the etzim of midah tovah. Rachmanis, whether it's going to be tov or ra, will depend upon whether you use compassion for those who are worthy and deserving of compassion. And if they're not, and if you use it in the wrong way, and at this moment you're supposed to be what? You're supposed to use an achzarius and to be tough, and to be tough and to hold back the compassion. So in that moment, the Rachmanis is not a mitzvah, the Rachmanis is not a midah tayvah, the Rachmanis is a midah ra'ah. And the Rachmanis that Jews have on Rishoyim, who are killing Jews, is not a midah tayvah. It's a midah which is being used l'ra. That's being used. Midas are midas. The shaila is, do you use that midah l'tayv or l'ra? Do you use that midah in a good way, in the proper way, or are you using it in a negative way, in a destructive way? And it's like that with all of the midas. And this is what we learned, is the definition of biur hamidas, of clarifying a midah, and the yesod is that the biur, and we're going to learn a lot about this in chassidus ba'omek. This is just, again, all a little bit of an introduction. The meaning of being mevarer amida, on this clarifying amida, the bir hamida, the klal, the rule is, when it comes to bir hamida, the only way that can truly take place is al yidei hipucha, through its opposite. The meaning of that is, I'm going to give you an example. One of the most wonderful things in the world is humility. And when you meet a Jew who's be'emes, is an anav, it's so beautiful. But the anavim are a little bit, those who are truly humble, are a little bit worried, because this midah of anavus, of anivus, in order to be mavara, whether or not they are using the humility in a way that is constructive and holy and right, it means that somehow the person who's naturally humble and lives a life of humility, there are times in his life where his need of humility is being tested dafke by what? By conceit, by gaiva. Because the only way to clarify the midah and to know whether it's l'tayv or l'ra is by seeing how does this person behave in a situation which calls for the opposite of his natural tendency. You remember we spoke 6 weeks ago about the person, there's a person who b'teva wants to be a prosecuting attorney, and there's somebody who wants to be in the defense. And therefore, it's the most natural thing for a person who always wants to see good to defend, and for somebody who's trying to go against to prosecute. And the bearer of each one's midah is, can I, who let's say has this midah to prosecute, the individual has this midah to what? To see negative, the way to test whether or not I'm an Eved Hashem, and whether my midahs are being used, l'tayv, is when I'm in a situation where I will go against my natural tendency, my natural inclination, if the moment and the place calls for it. So let's come back to those who are humble. So humility is beautiful, is gewaldic, and haughtiness is disgusting. So it says in the Pasuk, David HaMelech said, Bashem tishalel nafshi, yishmu anovim v'yismachu. That means that there is a certain thing, Bashem tishalel nafshi, and as a result of that, when the anovim, when those who are humble hear these words, Bashem tishalel nafshi, the ones who are humble start to clap and stand up and they're happy. What's making the humble ones so happy about those words, Bashem tishalel nafshi, that my soul is extolled in godliness, in Hashem? Because the tzaddikim tell us that sometimes, and we spoke about this a little bit less, I'm just a little bit, we'll talk more about it, that sometimes a person who's naturally humble becomes a shmata. You know, you ever see that? A person who's humble and his whole nature is not to speak up and to allow things to, and he doesn't have to be dafki his way, and when it's used at the right time, there's nothing that's more beautiful. But what happens is, as a result of that, this person who's an anav feels that he really can't daven. Why can't he daven? Ah, a person like me, I'm such a nobody, I'm such a rosha, I'm worthless, I'm nobody. And I've mentioned many times in shul the Yiddish story by one of the famous Yiddish Hebrew writers about a certain person, Bumsha. Those who have the misfortune of reading all these things might remember that this person The reason that those stories are particularly dangerous is because they all sound so religious, so firm, those stories. Because these were, the writers all grew up, you know, in beautiful homes. So there was a meiser with this Yidl Buncher, and he had the most miserable life. And the writer says in the story that he never ever answered back. No matter what happened to him, so his wife left him, his kids left him, they threw him out of his job. Whatever happened to him, he never said a word. He was makabel everything. And as you read the story, you begin to love him more. You love him because he's just so unbelievably humble. And finally, when he gets to Shamayim, so the writer says he gets to heaven, and the malachim give him an unbelievable kabbalah palm. He can't believe it's for him. And all the angels are singing, and like things are shining, and he's just standing there, Bunchala is standing there, and he was even run over, he was killed or something like that. So, but in the end, that's how he died. And Bunchala is standing there, and he can't believe it until finally the Bunchala says, the Bunchala himself says, Bunchala! And he has me. And the Malcolm say, yeah, he's talking to you, Bunchala. Yeah, Hashem's talking to Bunchala. He says, what is it? He says, Bunch, my child. And after they went over his whole life, the Malachim chazed over his whole life. They reviewed his whole life and all of his sorrows, and he never said anything. He never answered. He never complained. So finally, Hashem's brother says, Bunch, what do you want, my child? What do you want? Anything. Bunch, what do you want? So he said, anything. You know, nobody ever made, he never had anything. Anything? He says, anything. He says, I'd like to have a piece of bread with butter every morning. Is that all right? Now, when I read this story, I told this to you, remember, I told this to you last year. When I read this story, I read it in English. I didn't read it in Yiddish. I read it in English, and that's where it ended. And I told this story to my father, and then I thought it was very sweet, and it was a very heartwarming story, that even there, Buncha didn't have any demands. So my father said, that's not the end of the story. So I said, what do you mean? I saw my book, The Treasury of Jewish Folklore. I don't know about that book. I'm telling you, I know it from the Yiddish, and that's not the end. The end was that there was a laugh, a horrible laugh that came from Satan, from the evil one. That's how it ended, the Satan laughing. What is that? What's the difference? You understand the difference between the English ending and the Yiddish ending, which is the point that the author wanted to make. Look at all these Fafrunti Yidden and all the Jews that are getting beaten and that are going through all these sorrows, and they don't complain, they don't yell. It's not because they have such deep belief in God. It's just that they're shmatas. And the laugh of the Satan was, hi, you all you malachim, you think that Bunch is a tzaddik? You think that it's a midat toiva? So what? That he's misgaber, and he wants to yell, he wants to scream, he wants to call out, and he demands, and he has demands, but he's such an honor of the word that he holds himself back, and he works, and he's mahapachit, and he's mavara the midat. No. Even in Shemayim, when the Bereshit said you can have anything you want, he didn't have any hasagas except for a piece of bread and butter. Not to be next to Avraham Avinu. Hashem said you can have anything you want. Nah, a piece of bread and butter means you're nobody. That's what the Satan is left in the story. And we understand the point that the writer wanted to make about that time, about that generation, and how he grew up and what he felt was missed. So when it says in the Pasuk, listen to this. Bashem tis halal nafshi. That means that the person who was humble, when it comes to somebody, let's say, disappointing him, he doesn't answer back. When it comes to somebody getting an aliyah in shul, and he thought he was going to get the aliyah, and he says to himself, no, I'm not going to react to that, it's an Irish kite, it doesn't mean that they don't like me, that I'm a chabad me. When a person was expecting to hear, like somebody was giving a speech at the Sheva Brachas, and was waiting for that beautiful sound of his name, oh, and Uncle Yankel, oh, Uncle Yankel saved my life. And then you don't hear, and they say, every other uncle, cousin, relative, all the pets, everybody. And you're not there. So then, you know, you sit there and you say, I can't believe it, he left me out. And you want to make a whole thing, and you can cut him out of your will and whatever, you know, all of this stuff. So Anivas comes along and says, how are you doing? Listen, that's not what they meant, and whatever happened, and Bidama comes to us. That's Anivas. That's Anivas. But that same person who's an aniv has a natural tendency, let's say, not to daven with his heart because he thinks, why would Hashem listen to me? I'm not better than Bansha. So why should I ask? I should ask for something. See, he doesn't scream that the Jews need redemption. He doesn't scream, Rabban Shalom, how could you let this go on anymore, this girl? He doesn't scream that friend of mine lost his parnasa. He doesn't scream that person I know needs a shidduch because he says, I'm such a worthless nobody. So why should I even open my mouth? And then, of course, who am I that I should even sit and learn a blat Gemara? What difference does it make? What could I possibly add to the world? I don't know anything. I'm nobody. That's when anivus becomes a midah ra'ah, when it's being used inappropriately. So, therefore, the pasuk says, "Bashem tishalal nafshi." You humble ones, when it comes to serving Hashem, Bashem tishalal nafshi. There was nobody more humble in the world than David Malki Meshicha. He was the most humble person in the world, David Malki, right? But when it came to serving the Baruch Shalom, just like Meshur Rabbeinu, Bashem tishalal nafshi. My davening counts, my learning counts, my mitzvahs make a difference. If I say a good word to somebody, it can make his day. It can help him out, it can pull him out of something. That's why the pasuk ends, Yishmu anovim. When the humble ones hear this and they think about it, Yismachu, they will rejoice, because now they learn that even their need of anova can become what? Clarified and purified and refined to be used in the best possible way, and not to use it in the wrong way. Because anovim are all worried, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to be conceited? How am I supposed to find out whether I'm using my midas properly? Hashem wants me to be conceited? He wants me to use my ego? The answer is no. Not chas v'shalom when it comes to things that are upsetting you or bothering you. But when it comes to davening, learning, and mitzvahs and so on, avada, certainly you have to have an ego. As it says in the Vayomim, Vayigba libay bedarki Hashem. That one's heart has to be lifted up high and raised up high in the service of Hashem. Not to be embarrassed, not to be afraid, to be who you know you should be. And if people where you work are different than you, if people where you live don't want to keep this mitzvah, God forbid, they're doing an aveira, but yigbalibadak Hashem means that the humble Jew suddenly is transformed into a lion. A lion. And he says, this is who I am, I'm not going to change. And everybody says, wow, whoa, look at you, look at this. Yanku, we never knew you to speak up. I don't speak up when someone doesn't give me shishi. I'm moichel on shishi. But I'm not moichel on the Baruch Shalom's covered. I'm not moichel on halacha. No way. It doesn't say anywhere that I have to have shishi. But it says what? That mitzvahs have to be done and the veirs can't be done. And that's when the anovim can rejoice. Yishmu anovim v'yismach. Because what's the joy? The joy is that now this person's anivus, he now sees that he's not just a shmat, he's not bansha, he sees that he has a midah. And the midah is a midah toyeva because he's using it when? In a proper way. And it's an anivus, it's a humility that's with a cheshbon. It's not because I feel this way. You remember we spoke back then, Matik at Sadik and Mashiach HaRasha. It's not because I feel this way. I see good in everybody. I see good in everybody. Even the biggest Rishayim. No. I see bad in everybody. Even in Tzaddikim. No. I see good in the Tzaddikim and I see bad in the Rishayim. So now the Onav can rejoice. And the simcha of the Onav is that what? That my anivus is not because I don't have an ego. My anivus is not because I'm a shmata, I'm nobody. It's because I have made the decision to react in the appropriate way at the right time to use this midah. And that's called birur hamidas. That's what it means to clarify or to refine one's midas. And that's the Indian of Tikkun HaMidos. Now we come back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov's name is Yaakov. And the Ramban tells us that it means crookedness. Because when you read the stories in Chumash, when you read about Yaakov Avinu in Chumash, you could say he's the most crooked person in the world. And when Esav screamed, Ve'akiveni Zepamayim, you know, it doesn't look so good. Like the PR in Chumash is not good. Doesn't look good. Comes in dressed up like this and says, I'm this. Crooked. It looks crooked. Love and also, the whole thing with Yaakov Avinu, with the animals, with the stripes and the spots, without going into the story right now, the whole mitzvah there with Love and then running away with the daughters and so on, with his wives. So the taina that Love has is that Yaakov Avinu is what? He's a mu'ukav.
He's not straight. He's not straight. Esav says he's not straight. Lavan says he's not straight. And when people, Chalila, look at Chumash, and I saw even a Shomer Shabbos calls himself a rabbi, making a whole drosh like this, about the, you know, psychoanalyzing Yaakov Avinu Hashem Yirach. And everybody here knows that what midah is Davka, the midah that Yaakov came to the world to what? To perfect, to reveal. What's the midah of Yaakov? Emes. As Titan Emes Liyakov. Titan Emes Liyakov means that Yaakov Avinu is Davka, the one who's confronted with Maisim of Ramos, of what? That there are Maisim that have to be done, actions that need to take place. Hashem is Baruch is bringing out the Emes Liyakov Davka through what? Through the means and the channels of what? Of crookedness. Because the biru of every midah is davke in the hepech, and its opposite. That what? That Yaakov is not just, that the midah of Yaakov Avinu is not what he feels like saying, or how he feels like acting, but it's the emes la'amita. Because it says in Pasuk, also in Tehillim, that it's the midah of Hashem, im ikesh tapo, which means that with the crooked one, Hashem acts in a perverse way. It says about Hashem. With the one who is crooked, now David Melech is praising Hashem is Baruch, and he says, with the one who is crooked, Hashem acts in a crooked way. With the one who is crooked, Hashem acts in a perverse and a crooked way. And when Rashi brings down from Chazal, that Yaakov Avinu is Achiv Ani Beramos, Yaakov Avinu was saying proudly, Lavan thinks that he could outdo me. Achiv Ani Beramos. Esav thinks that he could outdo me. The Ramoim of the world, the lawyers, the crooked ones, the cheaters of the world. So Yaakov says, "Okay, but Ramos, I know how to be. I know how to do it too. I know how to play that game of Ramos. I also know how to deceive. I also know how to trick." Okay, but Ramos. And Rashi on the pasuk when it says Yaakov Ishtam. So Yaakov Ishtam, again, from the time that we meet Yaakov, and we think of what? Of the yeshiva bacher who has no hasogus of the world, and Yaakov is in his tent. Ishtam Yeshiv Aholim, he's totally naive. He has no idea of what's going on in the world. He's not street smart. He's not shrewd. He's not clever. He's just a tmimus de kisweek yeshiva bacher. That's how we meet Yaakov Avinu. And Rashi says over there, when Rashi's explaining the meaning of Ishtam, Rashi says that he doesn't have the sharpness to go and to trick people. That's not the way he is, Yaakov Avinu. And the same Yaakov Avinu who's what in Ishtam, who Rashi says he doesn't have this inyan to trick people, he doesn't have this way of his brother. So he says, Achiv ani beramos, that I'm a brother to him when it comes to cheating. I know how to cheat. I know how to lie. That he said about himself. That he could be a brother to Lavan. He could compete with Lavan. He was saying that about Lavan. I know how to be perverse and crooked with the one who was crooked. It's Davke through that. That Yaakov Avinu is mevarer the emes, the oimik, the pnimius of his midah, which is titan emes the Yaakov. That the midas emes doesn't mean that you're an idiot. The midas emes doesn't mean you're taken for a ride. The midas emes doesn't mean that everything that is bid, you say that's good, it's true, you're right, you're also right, like the old joke. It doesn't mean that. That's not what titan emes the Yaakov means. It's Davke, Yaakov Avinu is mevara the midas ha-emes, and all of us have to do this. That Yaakov Avinu's midas ha-emes was hard earned. He worked hard for the midas ha-emes. He sweated over the midas ha-emes. And what was mevara that his midah of emes was what? Was a midah taiva? Was when does he use the midas, when he uses midas ha-emes, he uses it in an emistic way. When the midas emes is used, be'emes. But the emes was, it's emes itself that demanded that with Lavan, you don't talk in emes. And with Esav HaRasha, you don't lower yourself down to an Esav HaRasha. Because the midas ha'emes, if it's just a natural inclination, so the Esav or Lavan come to you and say, listen, I gotta tell you, this is the truth, Chavah. And then they kill you. That's the end. The midas ha'emes of Yaakov was emes la'amita. Because emes be'emes means when emes is used as a midah toiva, which is lefi rotzen avinu shebashamayim, which is a midah that's used in accordance to the will of Hashem Yisbarach. That's what I spoke about last time. A person could use the midah emes. You remember this? I mentioned 6 weeks ago. So your wife says, "How do I look today?" I got to tell you the truth. You look terrible. You look terrible. You look 20 years older than I imagined you to look today. So say, you know, shkoyach. And he says, just call me Yaakov Avinu. Just call me Yaakov. You come in this Amos, I'm an Amos sticker. And then he says, and what do you think about me as a breadwinner? What do you got? Huh? I'm a gever. She says, no, you're total yisluch. You're complete and total yisluch, and every other friend of mine is living much more comfortably than me because you never must sleep with anything. And then the Yaakov Avinu all of a sudden says, ooh. And she says, no, I'm the wife of Yaakov Avinu. So my midah is midas amos. This is the amos. Telling you the amos. So, is that, and it's true. He is a lo yisluch, and maybe she doesn't look her best. But that's the amos. But that's not a midah toiva. That's not what it means. That's not amos be'amos. That's not emes la'amita. And again, we don't have time right now. There are halachas, especially when it comes to emes and shek. There are halachas, medake shalom. When are you allowed to say something that's not exactly the way the emes dictates, because there's an emes, which is an emes be'emes. When are you allowed to use that? And these are halachas. It's not, these are sukkis in Chazal and the Rishonim. We just don't have time right now. Maybe we understand that we don't find that Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu were confronted with these things. In other words, we don't see that they were mavara the midah with the hepech, and that they had to go through things where they had to say things that weren't true, or to lie, to make up stories. That's dafka by Yaakov Avinu, right? Why is that? So now we come back to the Ramban. The Ramban says that Yaakov's name is Yaakov because Yaakov means, Akev means, sedreit, crooked. And that what? The godless of Yaakov, the Rabban said, is shahafach ha'akov l'mishor. That Yaakov, you know, took that which was crooked, and what? He transformed it and made it straight. That means that Yaakov was mevarer. What is the meaning of yashrus, of straightness? The meaning of yashrus is that even Akev, even Yaakov, even making circles, even lying and cheating and tricking, when it's used with Esav and love, when it's used to build Knesset Yisrael, when it's used according to the Ratzon Hashem, that which seemed to be crooked is really, really what? Perfectly straight. And therefore the name Yeshurun, which means the straight one, therefore the name Yeshurun isn't Stam a beautiful nickname. It's not a nice name to call Yaakov Avinu. And over here, Davke, Mehavoscha Shahavta Yisrael, Umisimchoscha Shesomachta Boy, Karosa Shmo Yisrael Yeshurun. That the Rebbeinu Shlom's greatest simcha and his greatest naches is to call Yaakov by the name Yeshurun. Because when the whole world looks at Yaakov and they read the story, they say, ah, he's such a tzaddik, he's crooked, he's supposed to be amnesty. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, listen to me. You know, he's the straightest Jew that ever lived, he's the straightest person that ever lived. He is himself the etzim of Yeshurun. Why? Because even though his tev is that he's an ishtam, and everything, he can't say a lie, everything is emes, mamish, emes, he only wants to say the emes. But he knows that the Ratzon Hashem is, the emes of Hashem is, that sometimes when you're with the Rishoyim, you have to know how to play with them on their terms, right? You have to know how to build Klal Yisrael in such a way. Therefore, the simcha that Hashem has is the simcha that He has with any one of us when we don't just follow our natural inclination. But what? But we revire our midas. And we work with the midah. And Hashem takes each and every one of us in our lives and He puts us into the opposite situations of who we are and the way we'd rather be. And you feel this every day when you're in marriage. You feel this every day as a parent. A Rebbe feels every day in the classroom. Those kids that you feel that you, in the class, that you feel you naturally like. Every teacher comes to the class and every parent comes to the family and says, I have no favorites. That's an absolute lie. It's not true. Everybody says that and they think that it's true. The emes is that when you walk into a class, you have one kid that sits there and the kid is like taking notes and concentrating and raises his hand and says, have a good Shabbos, Rebbe. Nice to see you, Rebbe. Everything okay, Rebbe? Can I carry your swarm for you, Rebbe? And you know, if you have another kid, like, you know, you look at him and he's shooting spitballs and he's, and like, you know, and and when he looks at you, you know, it's like a chalil, like the Malach HaMavis is after you. Hashem Yirachim, right? I mean, so, everybody, you know, you come into a class and you feel more like you have an Atiyas HaNefesh. To this child, you feel more. They're all Jewish children and you do anything to help any of them, but you have more of an Atiyas HaNefesh to this child and to another child. And in every family, it's every family, Hashem is Baruch. Hashem is Baruch in His infinite wisdom. So, in a family, in a Shpacha, if people are blessed with children, so they know that. You have one child, and this child is, this is like my kind of kid. This is my kind of kid. And then you have the other one that, it's not my kind of kid. That's the other one's kind of kid, but not mine. My kind of kid is wonderful and well-behaved, and gets good grades, and always has his shirt tucked in, and everything is nice, and is davening, and is learning, everything good. The ikka bearer of who you are, and the reason that the Rebbeinu Shlom sent that child into your life is for the child, of course, and what that child needs, and dafke that you're being mevara who you are and who you need to become with that child. With not the one that I'm talking about. When I say that child, I don't mean the one. I don't mean the easy one. I don't mean the one that you feel naturally drawn towards. Is dafke with the one that you're having such problems. Dafke are the ones that you have such yisurim to get out to anything that you think is the way it's supposed to be. That's called Bira Hamidus. We'll talk a lot more about it. And these are the nisyonis that we have in our lives that Hashem Dafke brings out from you who you are when you're in the opposite of where you want to be and the opposite type of people you'd like to be with. Every marriage will have chila as a Bira because every man and woman are opposites. Says in Chumash, he's a connector. And the Zoch is Gevaldik. That's if you're Mevar Yamida, then it's good, then it's Zoch. But the Torah says connector, and we understand that this is Chesed, this is Din, and Chesed and Din have a hard time working things out. So every marriage, L'chadchila, is adversarial. And every marriage, L'chadchila, is an Isoyan to be Mevar Yamida. And that's why you always think, gee, until I met you, I was such a nice person. I was such a nice person. Must be something wrong with you. Because I'm nice to everybody. Ask anybody at work, I'm the nicest guy. Ask anybody in shul, I'm the nicest guy. You're the only one that has kindness. That's the emes. You are a nice guy. But you're nice when you want to be nice. And you're nice when it's kedai. And you're nice when it works out. And you're nice when you're appreciated every minute for it and recognized and so on. And they give you the nice award and everything like that. But at home, 24 hours, day after day, dealing with all the nyonim and all the nisyonis of being with someone who's, it's like it's not here, you know, yeah, like you're out bowling with the guys. It's a big deal, you're nice. It's not so chashuv. Chshivus is when it's something which is the hepech of who you are. The hepech of who you are. And now we understand an unbelievable yisoid, and we have to do it quickly. Listen to the yisoid. That's what Rav Huttner explained. You know that one of the midas, one of the ways, these are also midas, one of the ways that we learn Torah Shebichsav, that we learn Torah, is when there are shnei ksuvim hamachishim zed zeh. There are two psukim that contradict each other. Ova kosov ashlishi v'hichriya b'neihem. Or in the davening, we say in the Brayso Rabbi Shmuel, ad sheyova kosov shviach b'neihem. That means there are two psukim that seem to be saying opposite things, we don't know what to make of it. And then we have a third pasuk, that what? The third pasuk is machriya. The third pasuk, now we see that the third pasuk is what? Is telling us the pshat. So Futn explains that the same way that in learning Torah we have this nitsiyas, of shnei ksuvim machishim zedzeh, of two contradictory psukim, and then the third one is making the hachra of what is the din, what's the halacha. So too, Rav Huttner explains that when Knesset Yisrael was being built, so we see that it was built with this seder, Avmavinu his midas what? Chesed Avmavinu's midas ahava is love. Everything that's outgoing, everything that's giving is Avmavinu. Yitzchak Avinu's midah is what? Is yiras, gvuras, pachad, is fear, and is severity, and strictness, and withdrawal. That's the meaning of Yitzchak Avinu. So, if you ever had shnei ksuv machishim zedzeh, if you ever want to find two contradictory personalities, We have Avraham Avinu, which is the Midas HaChesed, and Yitzchak Avinu, which is the Midas HaDin. These are the Shnei Ksuvim Achishim Zedzem. But we understand that Al Pi Seichel, I can't use Ahava at the same time that I'm feeling Yira. To love at the same time that I'm, to move towards at the same time that I'm pulling away is a contradiction. Or to feel Yira when I'm feeling Ahava and I'm feeling Yira. In our understanding of the life of a finite human being, these are two opposites that cannot be contained, cannot be used at the same time. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a noisei hafochim. Opposites by Hashem is Baruch, like we say, Hades Ramuna, Habin of Abracha, Hagai of Agdula, all of the midas of Hashem is Baruch, that by Hashem is Baruch, Ahava Yira, they're able to be contained within Kiviyochel, their Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's not a contradiction. So even though we see by Avraham Avinu that he's the Mida of Ahav, and Yitzchak is the Mida of Yira. But if there's such a thing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to somehow contain both of these simultaneously, it means that the Jewish people were given such a kayak too, because the rule is Mahu Afata, that just like Hashem is so too, of course, Kiviyachal in a different way, we also can be that way. Therefore, the Rabbi Shalom revealed the third child, and the third child was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, which is me, she, Hamachriya Beinehem. Yaakov is the third pasuk, which somehow brings an integration, a shiluv, the proper and healthy use of what ahava when it has to be ahava, and yira when it has to be yira. Because Avraham Avinu's ahava, his chesed was complete, and kidekach that he didn't use yira, and that's why there was a Yishmael on his level. And Yitzchak Avinu's yira was so powerful, was so overwhelming, and so suffocating to Yaakov. Again, I'm talking about the obvious, so you have to be careful. But this is what the Torah, this is what the Tzaddikim have taught us. That Yitzchak Avinu's gvura was so pure, that Esav came, Esav felt, nowhere to go. There's no point to my life, I have no free choice. I have no free choice. Yishmael felt, I have infinite free choice. That's the parah, that's Yishmael. Because that's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu used it in Kiddush. Yitzchak Avinu's gevur, and Esav feels, I'm going to die. There's no tachlis to my life. I have no choice at all. Avraham Avinu is Yishmael, there's infinite choice, and Esav is there's no choice. And these are two extremes. And then Yaakov Avinu came to the world. So until that time, we have what? Shnei Ksuv Machishu Zedzeh. The most amazing pasuk in the world is Eila told it's Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu is Yitzchak. What does that even mean? Eila told us Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu is Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. How does that work? And that's why we learned in the Svarim from the Apterov and the Lord Label and all the Tzaddikim say that the name Yitzchak means laughter, because when do you laugh? You laugh when something is completely wacky. When something is totally incongruous, that just it's like slapstick. So that it could be that from Avraham Avinu, from such a person like Avraham Avinu, Chesed, unbound, infinite, could be what? A child like Yitzchak, Tzayka Sali Olkim, Kalashem Yitzahagli. It's a gelecht. Like, what does that mean? Hacha Yavah Kosav Ashlish. Until the third Pasuk arrives. And the third Pasuk is what? Is Yaakov Ish Thomas Titan Amistah Yaakov. And that's why Yaakov Avinu says about himself, Hayisi Bayayim Achalani Chayrev Vikarach Balayla. That means, when he was talking about how he worked, he said that by day, the scorching heat consumed me, and at night, the bitter cold. So Tzaddikim explained, what does that mean that Yaakov said about himself? That I was consumed by the heat, and I was frozen by the cold. So the Tzaddikim said that means, heat, chayim, me causes what? Hispashtus. How do you say that? For something to expand. Expansion, right? So he says that what? Paisi b'yayim achaloni chayim. Fire and heat means that Yaakov was able to contain within himself this koyach of heat, of warmth, which is hispashtus, which is chesed, which is expanding, and that's what chesed is. But then he says, at the same time, v'kerach b'layla, which means coldness, which means ice. And ice is what? Ice is when something is the opposite of expanding, it's when something contracts. And if something is shrinking and withdrawing and holding itself in, which is Yitzchak Avinu, holding in. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu was able to live a life, since his teeth and emes to Yaakov. Emes means that when is the moment to use ahava, when is the time to use chesed to say to your kid, sure, go ahead, have a nice time. That's good. And sometimes that very, very nice parent should be saying, you're not going anywhere tonight, you're staying home. And then the other parent who's watching this says, I can't believe it, you know? I don't get it. You're just contradicting yourself. The other night you said to the kid, go have a nice time. Today you said you're not going anywhere. So your answer is, yeah, because today my son said he's going to learn a mishmer. You know, he's being picked up to go to learn. And he came to the other day. He says he wants to go to the Himalayas, you know, for vacation. So there's a difference. The bearer of Ahav is that I don't always give, I don't always love, I don't always give. Because Tita Nemes Yaakov means that there's a time not to give. And then you know that your chesed is Nemes Tiki Chesed. It's really chesed. Because what? It's bounced off the year that says that there's a time not to give. Eis Leho Veis Lisno. A time to love, a time to hate. And those parents who love when they're supposed to hate and hate when they're supposed to love are never creating children that are broken to a billion pieces. The haraya, everywhere, what's going on? There's like so much ahava. So much ahava. The ahava is used after when there should be yira, and the yira is used when it's supposed to be ahava. And Nebuchadnezzar comes out from that are broken people. So now you see that this was the entire avoid of the others. By Avraham Avinu, there was a time in his life that he was caught in a horrible, horrible contradiction. You all know what that is. Avraham Avinu says, Rabbanu Shalom, I'd like to talk to you a little bit. I'd like to share with you what's worrying, but what I don't get. Yesterday you told me that I'm going to build a whole nation from Yitzchak. I'm going to build a whole nation. In other words, you're telling me, Ahava, you love me, you're going to have this beautiful nation. Everything's going to be beautiful. That was yesterday. And today, you tell me what? You tell me to take my son and to murder him. Which is Yira, which is Gvura, which is cruel. So the Medrash says, Afar l'shechosi chosi, Moshe, I'd like to, not that he said these words, but he wanted to talk to Hashem about this. You know, like, I don't get it. There's like Shnek Suv Machishim Zev Zed. These are two contradictory psukim. You tell me ki be Yitzchak Yil Karel Chazara. You know, if you tell me Mazel Tov, you should have a lot of nachas, build a beautiful mishpacha, and then the next day you tell me I want you to kill him. So Shnek Suv Machishim Zev Zed. So it must be that Amarin was walking around with such a kasha. That's what the Medrash is saying. What a kasha. What a question of contradictions, of a Ahava Yira. What's going on? Avram and Yitzchak. And Vayel Chushneim Yachdev is the deepest mystery of all creation, that the two of them went together. So what happened? So Avram Avinu, he goes there with a knife, and he's ready to shecht. And all of a sudden, the Malach says, Al Tishloch Yod Chalanar, Al Taslam Um. Don't touch him. And Rav Hutna points out that according to Chazal, and Rashi brings down, that at that moment, when Hashem Yisbarach told him, you passed the test, Kivarech Avarech, I'm not going to bench you, I'm going to bless you. So look at Rashi. Rashi says that that's when he was given the bracha to have Yaakov Avinu. The bracha of Yaakov Avinu was at that moment. That there's going to be the Metzias of a Yaakov Avinu, there's going to, that's where it says, Baruch Avarecho, Rashi says, Achas La'ov, Achas La'ben, but that's the Baruch of Yaakov Avinu. Why? Since we learned tonight that Yaakov Avinu was the mystery of what? Achiyov, Achosav, Ashlishi, Yaakov Avinayim. Yaakov Avinu was the Midas Emes. Yaakov means there's a time to love and there's a time to Geshech. Yaakov is the Achra. Yaakov is the one who's able to take what? To take Ahav and Yira. And to be Mishal of them together to be used for Emes, Emes, Mamish, Emes, Be'emes. Therefore, when Avraham Avinu, who was the most loving person in the world, and he only wanted to do for his children, all he wanted to do was to give. And yet he stands there with a knife, and because Hashem told him to, he's going to shech, because there's the Ratz in Hashem, I don't know why. But it's the Ratz in Hashem that I shech, and that's the emissary that Hashem is telling me I have to do right now in my life. So who comes into the world, whose neshama somehow in some way appears at that moment? Yaakov Avinu. The bracha of Yaakov Avinu, because the bracha of Yaakov Avinu is actually Yovah Kostel Vashlishi Rechviya Ben Am, the third pasuk that's Machuya, when to use Av and when to use Yir, when to love and when to Shech. And that's the meaning of what the Ramban said, that the Indian of Yaakov is Vahoya Ha'akov L'mishor. That means to be able to transform that which is crooked into that which is straight. Therefore, Rav Hudra ends by saying it. A remarkable, remarkable chiddush that we need to give us chizik, especially since it's a difficult time. Tkufa is a difficult tkufa. If somebody would ask any of one of us, what's the Yerusha that we receive from the Akeda? What is the gift that we've received from that amazing day when Avraham Avinu brought up his son to sacrifice his son Yusuf? What's the Yerusha? In other words, what do we get from that? What do you say, Ezra? Exactly. The answer, the intelligent, correct answer would be, and all the Svarim talk about it, and Rebbe Zalman is right, is Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh means that Yidden will mekabel from that day the ability to be moisten nefesh, to stretch your neck out, to be shechted, to be a Jew. So Hutna said, Emes. But there's an emes, the emes is even deeper than that. And this is the hischaskas, unbelievable hischaskas. Rav Hutna said that from that day the Jewish people were Yoresh, we inherited the ability to live through a time of unbelievable contradiction, to live through it, to be stuck in a situation of, look, Rav Hutna, I want to say something, I've had so many people, over the years, this is the most heartbreaking thing to me. How many times have I had Balei Tshuva, Balei Tshuva, that I became religious, I gave up everything just for Hashem, and I don't know why Hashem doesn't send me a shidduch. You know, I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, I became religious, I gave up all this, I gave up boyfriends, I gave up the whole world. My parents didn't talk to me, I lost my parnasa, just to be a religious Jew. I don't get it. Like I've been saying, I want to talk to you about Hashem. Esmol, yesterday you told me that I should be a religious Jew. And today you're telling me that the price of being religious is that I'm going to be lonely till I'm 120. God forbid. From where does a Jew draw the strength to live during a time of Shnei Suvim, Hamachishim Zeh, to live during that unbelievable time, before the stira, before the contradiction is resolved? Before Yaakov Avinu comes in on his white horse, which is what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. It should happen earlier, it should happen, we should all have that in our lives. But certainly, that people have to live through these unbelievable steers, and to be able to somehow get up the next day, to open the Siddur, to say another Matayvu, to say another Shemini Esrei, even though everything is a contradiction. All the things that you were hoping for, all the things that you believed would happen, are not turning out. It's all the hapach. Rav Hutna said, from the Akeda, we receive that Yerusha. To be able to stand there and to try to picture Avraham Avinu. To stand there and say, I have so much to talk, I can't, I don't get it. I just don't get it. What do you want from me? You want a hava? I want to bring up my child with a hava. So you want a hava from me? Because that's my whole meat is a hava, right? A hava. And you told me I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And now what are you telling me? You tell me to slit his throat? And he's standing there with a knife and he's going to do it. I said, okay, you telling me to do it? I'll do it. I don't get it, though. But I'll do it. Now the Rishon says, I know Ki Yirelu Kimata, that you're a God-fearing Jew. Meaning, like all the Mepharshim say, that everybody knew it. I don't know that he was the kindest, sweetest, most giving soul on earth. But God-fearing? That's already, doesn't seem to be Avraham Avinu. This is emesdik Yerushalayim. That's what it means, Yerushalayim. And during the week of Shavuot, when a person is in a matziv, and he realizes that there's such an isoyin, he's being pulled mamish into the wrong place, and the Rosh Hashanah, he has to know that the Rosh Hashanah is putting him through this contradiction to be mavarer who he is and what his tachlis is in the world. And the Rosh Hashanah, when he succeeds in that test, that the Rosh Hashanah says to him, Ati, Adati, Kirelu, Kimati, you're an Elohim. You're a Yirei Shamayim. You're a Yirei Shamayim. Until now, you weren't a Yirei Shamayim. Because what? It was without the Nisyanis. But now you're a Yirei Shamayim. Listen, tonight is the yard site of the Rebbe of Zushi. It's Beis Shvat. Can you imagine how much love, how much chesed, how much ahava descends into the world by the yard site of the Rebbe of Zushi? Who was the Rebbe of Zushi? It was a shtick ahava. Listen, there's a maaser. You know, the mazel from the month of Shvat is a what? Is a dili, a pail, a bucket. Let me tell you a maaser from the Rebbe of Zushi with a bucket. We covered Rosh Chodesh on the cover of the yard site. You know that the Rebbe of Zushi and his brother, the Rebbe Elimelech, used to go from place to place, girls and so on. So sometimes they had, sometimes they got in trouble. What do you have to do to get in trouble? You just have to be Jewish in the wrong place. And you got in trouble. That was it. So what happened? So the two tzaddikim, the brothers, the Rebbe of Zushi, they're going to thrown into jail. But you understand, jail back then was without rights. So the Rebbe of Zushi were in this disgusting cell with a bunch of Ukrainian lunatics. The lowest of the low. And who? And the Rebbe of Zushi and the Rebbe Elimelech. And the Rebbe Elimelech is crying. Why? Because in the middle of this disgusting cell, in this dungeon, there's a dli, there's a bucket that's filled with human waste. That's what it was. That's what they went to the bathroom. Disgusting. And the Rebbe Elimelech said, "We can't daven here. And you can't daven in a room like that." And the Rebbe Elimelech is crying. How could I go? How could we go like this without davening? So the Rebbe of Zushi said, "Ma'ilach." As the same Rebbe Yisrael that says that his rots and his will, his desire is that we daven when there's no schmutz in the room. That same Rebbe Yisrael has told us that his will is that when there's schmutz in the room, that we don't daven. And the Melech said, "Yeah." And Rebbe Zushi chazed this over, and they went over it a few times, and they got so excited that we're now doing Yirat Hashem, we're not davening. And they started to dance. The Rebbe Zushi and Melech were not davening because the Rebbe Yisrael doesn't want us to daven now. And they started dancing. What a rikud! And Goyim. So they're looking at this. So they start dancing. There's music and it's nice, and they start dancing. Okay, is there a whole tumult? There's a commotion. So the guard, is this trouble? The guard comes in, he yells, and everybody's quiet. And the guard looks at everybody, he says, "What's going on over here?" So right away, the guy say, "It's these two, the Jews." So what is it? So the guy says, they're the ones that started the singing and dancing. And the guard says, "And why?" And he says to the guy, "Why are they singing and what's the singing and dancing?" They're happy about the bucket. They're dancing about the bucket. So the guard says to Rebbe Zushi, that's what you're dancing about. You think I'm going to tolerate Jews being happy? I'm taking this bucket right out of here. And he takes the bucket out. The Rebbe Zushi says, "Mila, now we can daven." And the Baruch Hashem wants us to daven. And they saw the Rikud Gavalt. Now we can daven. What an unbelievable maaser. What an unbelievable mice. If we would live that way, if we would live with the Ratzon Hashem, and if we would say, "That's the emes be'emes, this moment," the Rebbe Zushi said that the emes be'emes is this moment that was supposed to be silent. That's not what Shulchan Aruch is. There's a Shulchan Aruch. Nothing to do with the Baruch Hashem. Why is there a bucket in the room? I don't know. Why is someone standing by the mountain with a knife in his hand? I don't know. It's the Ratzon Hashem. The same person who told me sometimes I daven, told me sometimes I shouldn't daven. And what gives me joy? One thing in the world gives me joy: serving the master of the universe. That's all. And if sometimes that service means to hold back, that's the simcha. And if sometimes it means to give, I mean, that's the simcha. Because the simcha of a yid is only being an eved Hashem, is doing rots na vinu shebishamayim. That's the simcha of a yid. That's the ma'aseh from Rebbe Zusha. We should be zoichim as Hashem to live with this emes, the emes. And this Hashem, in the future weeks, we're going to talk a lot more on a deeper level. This is the hakdamah to understand this whole inyan of the hepech of the opposites and all the birurim. And we should be zoichim as Hashem for the time of the, when atzvi yovah kosev ha'shlishi, with the bayis ha'shlishi, the gula 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 ha